track 10 and our final track of news stories, and we go into the world of entomology. Big butterfly census paints a mixed picture. This year's big butterfly count paints a better picture for butterflies than had been feared. The wetter summer was good for butterflies, with average numbers of butterflies spotted being the highest for 4 years. In total, over 1.5 million butterflies and day-flying moths were recorded from 14th of July to 6th of August, and this builds on an all-time low in 2022. The most seen species this year was the Red Admiral, with over 248,000 recorded, an increase of a massive 338% on last year's count, and the first time the species, which is increasing in the UK as a result of climate change, has taken the top spot. However, this good news is in contrast with what the long-term trends are revealing. Released for the first time this year, these show that since the big butterfly count started 13 years ago, many species have significantly decreased. It's a further warning sign that nature everywhere is in crisis. Butterflies, as well as forming a vital part of the food chain, are considered significant indicators of the health of the environment.
And some more of our winged friends. As part of our Bradley Bug Recovery Project, Green Futures volunteers wanted to find out more about our local moths. With generous financial support from local Bradley councillor Richard Buscombe, the kind donation of a recycled battery from Teen Battery Centre, and technical help from Phil Sansom of Devon Biodiversity Record Centre, we have been able to set up a moth collector at various locations around Bradley Ward to sample our local moth populations. Green Futures chairperson Samantha Hibbert said, "Moth collecting at night is such a rewarding experience. There are so many different species with really intricate patterns and beautiful colours. To think that they're out at night when we're all asleep, pollinating our flowers and crops, it's very inspiring." Unfortunately, as with daytime pollinators, moth populations across the UK have been in decline since the late 1960s due to a loss of habitat, increased levels of light pollution, and the use of pesticides. There are around 2,500 species of moth in the UK, but for most of us, the only time we think about them is when they appear in the car headlights or when we find holes in our new best jumper in the wardrobe.
Robust plan on housing delayed. A document seen as the front line of defence against speculative developers targeting new housing sites in Tonbridge has been delayed. Tonbridge District Council's Cabinet has voted to delay the submission of the new draft local plan until February. It sets out where thousands of new homes can be built across the district and should have been submitted this summer. However, more than 1,000 responses have been received to a public consultation, and that has caused the timetable to be changed. Members heard the local plan needs to be robust, but were warned the delay cannot be open-ended. Councillor Richard Dawes, SD Alliance Ambrook, said it was vital to challenge overstated targets for new homes imposed by the government. He went on, "If we were truly a progressive council, we would be using every fibre in our bodies to resist development-led plans and acting strictly in the interests of the health and well-being of our residents." Almost a year ago, Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Michael Gove, announced changes to the way land supply targets were applied, but they haven't been brought in yet. Councillor Hugh Cox, Lib Dem, Ashburton and Buckfast Lee said, "I'd rather see this being delayed, taking longer and being done right, rather than being rushed through." And Council Leader Martin Rigby, Lib Dem Dawlish North East, added, "We can use the plan to robustly defend against speculative developers." He said in his own ward alone, there had been speculative proposals for 1,200 homes. He added, "Every day the plan protects us from developers trying to build the wrong type of houses in the wrong place."
You may have seen this item on the news or spotlight sometime during the past week or so. Because Great Western Railway has named a train after best-selling author and Great Westerner Agatha Christie as part of the 70th anniversary tour of one of her most iconic plays, The Mousetrap. The cast of The Mousetrap, which continues its national 70th anniversary tour at Torquay's Princess Theatre until Saturday the 16th of September, so that has already passed, joined guests for a special ceremony at Paignton Station. Christie was nominated for the train naming by the public and GWR colleagues as part of GWR's Great Westerners campaign, recognising past and present heroes from across the network. The train, now called Dame Agatha Christie, by the late author's grandson, Matthew Pritchard. Also in attendance was GWR train manager, Rob Smith, and his 103-year-old grandmother, Joan Knott, a world-renowned expert on all things Agatha Christie. And there's the inevitable picture of the naming party, including Joan Knott herself, the 103-year-old, in a wheelchair. And perhaps I could just add a personal note that I actually saw The Mousetrap in London in the 1950s. So that was a long time ago.
Well, he may not have a train named after him yet, but writer and environmental campaigner Guy Shrubsole has won the 2023 James Cropper Wainwright Prize for writing on conservation. Guy's book, The Lost Rainforests of Britain, has been described as a highly original story of our forgotten temperate rainforests and the efforts to restore and protect them. Inspired by a chance discovery of a surviving fragment of rainforest on the edge of Dartmoor, Shrubsole explores these spectacular lost worlds across the UK, offering powerful ideas and hope about how they might be brought back to life and inspiring connection with these magical places. Chairman of the judges, Craig Bennett, chief executive of the Wildlife Trusts, said, "A highly original, meticulously researched and beautifully written book, which takes the reader on a thrilling journey to one of the rarest, most precious habitats to be found in Britain, while also offering some powerful ideas and hope about how the decline of these majestic rainforests might be reversed." Guy is campaigning for government action to protect and restore Britain's temperate rainforests through the Lost Rainforests of Britain campaign. The James Cropper Wainwright Prize is awarded annually to the books which most successfully inspire readers to explore the outdoors and to nurture a respect for the natural world, with the winners being announced at the prize's 10th anniversary celebrations in Kendal in the Lake District.
Community fridges ensure surplus food not wasted. Devon now has 25 community fridges, including one in Ashburton, and they help ensure that surplus food finds a home quickly. They are open to all and make good food available for free. And following this success, Recycle Devon, a partnership of Devon County Council, 8 district authorities and Torbay Council, has now launched a new community map on its website to show your nearest fridge. The principal reason why the community fridges were set up was to reduce the carbon footprint left by food production and transportation. Although each fridge is run slightly differently, it is estimated that collectively they redistribute more than 150 tonnes of surplus food worth almost £500,000 each year. By making sure this food gets eaten and doesn't go to waste, these projects are ensuring that the embedded carbon in the food from the energy, water and fertilisers that went into producing it gets put to good use. And none of this redistribution would have been possible without the strength of the community sector in Devon. The Community Fridge Initiative has really taken off thanks to teams of dedicated volunteers across the county who collect food, primarily from businesses, and keep the fridges running safely. From just a few locations in 2019, there are now more than 24, with one more on the way. Marissa Pisano, who runs St Thomas Library Community Fridge in Exeter, said, Food going to waste is a large contributor to climate change, so by using the community fridge, we all get to play a part in helping the environment. Emma Croft, who runs the National Lottery-funded Food Rescue Project in Devon, and two community fridges as part of that. She said, community fridges are visible signs of people caring for each other and the environment within their community, with the idea of sharing food with others being something that we can bring people together with.